Race drivers, welcome to the penultimate episode of the Race Driver Coach Show, and we are turning our focus again back to how much racing costs. Now, over the last month, I think I've done two videos, one on the F1 route and all the levels, so F3, F4, F2 and all that, how much it costs. And then I did sports car, endurance, Le Mans kind of career path and how much each level costs there. And we pretty much started at about 150k when it came to the British GT sort of standard or level. And a lot of you are asking or saying to me, I can't even afford that. Is there anything cheaper? And of course there is. There's things cheaper than that. And that's what I want to speak about today. We're going to be talking about club racing. And when we're talking about club racing, we can go, well, this is the challenge I'll give myself, we can go as low as spending 25k and even less for some championships. But 25k is kind of like a realistic budget that if you can get to, and let's be honest, if you've got the intelligence and the capability of finding this video, pressing play, listening to it and digesting the information I'm giving you, then I know you've got the capability of going out there and raising 25k to go racing. Even if it takes you 5 years, and you only manage to save like £300-400 a month, but you manage to get that money, put it away, reinvest it, and you get a kitty of 25k, you can go racing. Anyone can do this. I don't care if you wash cars, if you work three jobs, you can raise 25k extra on top of what you've got to go racing. Or let's say you can raise 10 and the rest of it, you just beg, borrowing, stealing, getting sponsors to help you, getting people to supply you with tires, which is pretty much how I did it. Now, if you remember what I did, I was just a kid, 17 years old, one of those kids that you see at McDonald's car park, up to no good, but I wanted to go racing. And I worked plenty of jobs, two, three jobs one time, trying to save the money. I went and got a bank loan. Not a good idea, to buy my first race car. And then I just got a trailer, I borrowed a trailer off somebody, stuck the car on the back, went to the race circuits and just about got through the season somehow. I don't think I spent 25, I hope not, but I probably did. But it was equivalent to that anyway for that time. And I managed to get lots of sponsors on the car, just little ones, local companies, with my wage, with kind of like just hoping to not crash, which I didn't, luckily. And then I sold the car at the end for profit. So it works. You can eke your way through. And the way I want to talk about doing this is really based in the UK. I talk about the UK because, not just because I know it really well, because I've raced it, I've taught in it forever, and I've lived here forever, but it seems to be the one country that has pretty much the cheapest forms of racing. Our club racing scene is huge. And these kind of championships, you can race in them for around 24k. Because there's only like 7 or 8 rounds a year. You won't do much testing. You can go and buy the car. If you go onto places like Race Cars Direct, you can see all these different cars. You can go scroll down, you can search, and there's race cars on there. And you can go that route. Or you can do the arrive and drive thing where you actually contact the championship. Of these championships, the cheap ones, and you ask the championship coordinator, who are the teams that I can talk to that could run me? Then you contact the teams and you ask them what it will cost for them to run you, and you get kind of, that's it, that's where the conversation starts. But most of them, a bit of a rule of thumb here, most of them seem to cost around about 3,000 per weekend, which sounds a lot, but if you're only doing 8 weekends, with a little bit extra on top for your hotels and things that you need, and maybe some crash damage or insurance for the car, you can do it under 24k. And that's what we're talking about here. And there's more championships than the ones I've just mentioned. There's loads of them. And again, if you go to the websites that I've got, actually in the link in the description, I'll put loads of different links in there to help you, from the race kit that you need to go racing if you're a beginner, to getting your license in the first place, your race license. There's some in there, and just lists of championships. There's 3 websites there. You can just scroll down and look at all the different championships, and they're all there in the context. So really, there's nothing stopping you going racing if you want to race in the UK. Now, certain countries like Germany, New Zealand, Australia to a certain extent, and even parts of America, they also, and Scandinavia, they also offer cost-effective club racing. even France, I think. So if you live in different countries and you think, I don't live in the UK, you know, what have I got? I would see if you could find club championships, first of all, in your country. And if not, you're just going to have to do what you can to, and you really need to race. It's something that you've got a burning desire to do. Then just go to one of these places, come to UK, get a student visa or work visa, or just actually, you know, pop in to race and then go back home. Do whatever you can to get to one of these countries if it means enough to you and you want to create a career. Now, obviously, again, because I'm talking about England, it's easier in this country because I'd say there's over 15 different race circuits in such a confined area. We're only a small country, yet there's over 15 circuits. So you're tripping over a circuit every hour that you drive, it seems like. So the infrastructure's there. And because it's a mature industry in this country, there's so many people that are offering you to run your car that can help manufacture parts, can help access parts if it's an old car, and can source them. So it's just a hub for motorsport, and it's thriving. Every, you know, the circuits are full. Test days are busy. The race championships, the club championships are busy. Some of them have got like 60 cars. They have to have heats and a final. No, MX5 was like that. There are two races and then you got the final. So it's buzzing. So if you're thinking that I can't go racing because it costs too much, I know that's just an excuse. There's different ways you can do this. You can, like I said, approach a team, find out the teams in a championship, approach them and ask them just how much it costs for you to come along, use their car. It's called Arrive and Drive, which again, if you go onto Race Cars Direct, there's Arrive and Drive offers there. There's loads of them. And you just click on them and talk to the actual teams. And you can see like there's an MX5 one there and you just basically see how much it costs and then away you go. And that's pretty much low maintenance, right? They take care of it. They get the car there. They prepare it. There's a mechanic there with you all the time and you just race. They take care of all of it. They put the fuel in, the whole lot, apart from crash damage and things like this and your hotels. Everything like that is on top, but it's easy. It's efficient. Or you go it alone, which is what I did in my first year, right? You buy the car, you get a trailer, you get a mate to help you do the spanners on it, or you employ a mechanic to have a look at it now and then, or even bring them to the races. So you charge, you know, you pay them what, $150 a day to be there and help prep the car for you if you're not very mechanically minded, and you just compete and you just eke your way through that way. This is going to be actually cheaper than 24k if you do it correctly. And then the interesting thing with this route is if you're racing like an MX5 and you buy the car, you've got the physical asset of the car, and you either run it yourself or you take it to a team to run it for you. That's cheaper than just Arrive and Drive because they're using your equipment. They just offer probably two-thirds of the cost. They don't charge you car hire because it's your car. If you're doing that route, you can use that vehicle, literally, that car, as a vehicle to entertain sponsors. So if part of your sponsorship package is a track day in the race car that they are actually sponsoring, so they can actually get to drive it, maybe with you in the passenger side, instructing them around a court, around a circuit on a track day, brilliant. They can bring clients and have a go, and you can just put your own day on. And at the end of the year, if the car is still in one piece, you can sell the car and get pretty much your money back because they don't depreciate that much, most race cars. You might lose a bit, but if you've had big success, you might make a bit, which is what I did with my Formula Ford. I sold it for about $1,000 more than I bought it, even though I spent more than that doing it up. But still, you get your money back from it at the end of the year. So I say that's also an interesting route because you've got the car there, it's yours. And if you are handy with the spanners, then you can prepare it yourself and save yourself a fortune. Then really, just think about the costs. You buy the car, you've got some kind of way of transporting it to the race circuit, which a lot of race cars come with a trailer. So you need a tow hitch on the back of your car. You've got entry fees, which can be like $400 per race weekend to pay the actual championship. Championship fee, which is like a couple of hundred for the season just to register. And away you go. You just run it. So you've got fuel, tyres, brakes, engine rebuild, which has got to be a couple of grand halfway through the year. Then you start to think, actually, it doesn't cost that much. As long as I don't roll it into a ball and crash it every single weekend, it should be okay. I'll get through it. And if not, I just only do half the season. And then I save up and build momentum to go and do the next season. So you can actually race quite cheap if I say cheap, right? Still money, but compared to the money that we're talking last time, 150K upwards and millions, this is doable. And if you were to say, right, I can't really go for the big stuff and I might as well just start small, like I always say you must do, take step one. You do a championship that's affordable, it's underneath 24K or even less if you do everything yourself, and you win it, and you start to make contacts in the sport, you start to get noticed because you're winning at club level, and you're telling everybody you want to get to national level, you're getting on with the race teams that are there, you're starting to get contacts, you're getting sponsors on board. After a year or two of doing that, you can get momentum and then start to climb the sports car route or the single seater route, like I said before. And there are plenty of, if you're a single seater buff, the F1000 is a really cool championship. It's a motorbike engine. It's quite an old car now, but it's fast. It's cool to drive. I've never driven one, but I've raced against one. And they are really cool cars. And then you've got Formula V. You've got club racing Formula Fords. That's all fairly cost effective as well. Formula Fords start to get more expensive because they're popular, but there's plenty of championships that are open wheel. So to summarize, there's really no excuse. Okay, it might not be in your country, but you've got to figure out how to get to a different country. If it's really, there's no racing where you live, you've got to go to where the racing is. So that's your biggest challenge. But once you overcome that, then it's like, right, how do I raise this money? And you start to work on it. It might take a year, it might take 3 years for you to figure out and get it all sorted, but it's here for you if you want it.